This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. I believe we're joined by Tony Leo of Unifor and the author of a wonderful book on the Oshawa GM strike. Are you there, Tony?
Hi, Phil.
I keep trying to turn it into a general strike.
We should all be doing that.
Yeah, we should. That's our prime. I'll remind myself. Tony, we want to talk to you because, of course, you're our go-to person to know about matters to do with unions, the auto business, and things such matters as the current recent OFL convention. But I have to say, we really want to talk to you because while the OFL was going on, you were in a Scrabble tournament in Accra, Africa, Ghana.
In Ghana, yes, I was.
That's a, probably a good place to watch the goings on of Ontario Labour. Of course, Unifor is not a member of the OFL, so you're permitted to have the time off. So tell us about this, because I read about it on the front page of the Globe and Mail, and it said that that a Canadian had won.
Yes, and for the second time, Adam Logan won the world championship 20 years ago.
Is this the first time they've noticed that he won?
No, I think that there was some coverage 20 years ago. But I think a lot of people don't recognize the deep strategic complexities of the competitive Scrabble scene. I think that it's every bit as strategic game as chess or Go or a number of others that are recognized as, you know, really involving deep thinking and strategy as well as memorization. So I was pleased that there was recognition that Adam Logan from the Ottawa Scrabble Club won the championship this year. But what was really remarkable to me and why I was really glad I was there is that the world championship in Scrabble has, in English language Scrabble anyway, has only twice been held in Africa. The first time was in Nairobi about 6 years ago. But that's important because African players are really incredible at the game in a number of countries, but they are very restricted in getting to Europe or the United States by visa restrictions and a load of obstacles that people recognize that are, I think that are at the base are really racist. So to have the competition in Africa really opened up the participation from a number of African countries, 8 or 10 different African countries, and really allowed their best players to excel and show how good they were. And in terms of the team rankings, the top three countries that participated in this championship were number one, Nigeria, number two, Ghana, and number three, Kenya. And there were a large number of African players who finished in the top 20, particularly Nigerians.
That's it's rather like this. People notice the phenomenon with British imperialism, colonialism, is that as the years passed, the people of the British colonial world began to beat them at their games.
Yeah.
Cricket and field hockey and various other sports. It's here we are. You're saying that, I guess, of the group, Nigeria is the strongest, huh?
Nigeria is by far the strongest. There were five members of the Nigerian team that finished in the top 20. Also in the top 20 were players from Ireland and the United States who are of Nigerian origin, learned to play Scrabble in Nigeria.
So they're going home to, going well into the region to,
yes,
to play. Did you say that the, and who's the president of the association? Is it the?
There's a new chairperson of the association that governs international Scrabble, and his name is Lukeman Owalabi, and he's was representing Ireland at the competition. Finished in the top 10, but he's of Nigerian origin. And there's also world competitions in Scrabble in Spanish and in French. And in French also, there's been a very strong participation by African players. And apparently the chairperson of the Francophone Scrabble World Federation right now is also African.
That's really great. I love this story. I think that one of the things I learned that was surprised me when I was working in Africa was that the great majority, the country with the most members of the Anglican Church is Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
by a wide margin. So when we think of Anglicans, you know, we don't tend to think of Nigeria. But with Nigeria in the news, it's nice that you were at a tournament where you could, get to know the players and get to see. When people speak of, possible, like Trump does, of intervening, and they've told him they really don't need his help, and you would be, you were at close range to see a lot of talented, gifted people that clearly look after their own matters.
Yes, absolutely.
We're not being fair to you. You did well in the tournament, right?
I finished 33rd out of 128 players, and
You folks are ranked like tennis players. You're seeded.
Yes, yeah. My seed going in was 46, so I exceeded that by a bit, and I was somewhat disadvantaged by the chaos in air travel that the president to the south of us was instrumental in causing, and led me to have misplaced.
I think you mean Ronald Reagan, wasn't it? Reagan that fired the controllers, and they haven't. They've been sort of chaotic ever since.
Yes, and particularly the day that I was leaving, my first flight was canceled, my second flight was delayed, and I missed a connecting flight. And I ended up missing the first two games of the tournament. So I wasn't displeased with how
so
I did.
You had to, it's like a walkover, you had to give up two matches, is that right?
Yeah, I forfeited the first two of 32. So in the other 30, I had 18 wins and 12 losses, which I was pretty happy with.
So the name of the winner, is it Logan?
Yes, Adam Logan. He's a mathematician, and I think he started playing Scrabble when he was 9 years old and competed in tournaments and very quickly showed his brilliance at it.
Mm-hmm. People could check the Globe. I have to give them credit. They put it on the front page, and it was quite extensive.
Yeah, I thought it was
profiling Mr. Logan and the world's best player. I guess it's by consensus that they and what they
yes, Nigel Richards. Everybody agrees is a phenomenal talent. And has won the world championship 6 times, so more than any other two people combined, and has also won world championships in French and Spanish. So his abilities are quite remarkable.
Wow. Soon we'll have Scrabble action figures and commercials with them at their favorite spots. I'm curious, to what extent do people sort of watch it? I mean, if it comes down, does it come down to a final match where there's just the two of them?
After 32 rounds, the top two players played a best of 7 final, and it was streamed live on YouTube, and it's easy to find if people want to find. There was a lot of coverage of the event on YouTube on different channels, and I think there were more than 3,000 people watching the best of 7 finals around the world.
Within the building, is there a kind of a gallery? Is there a place you gather to watch?
Yes. There was a viewing room, and a lot of us were in there watching the game and listening to the commentary. The final 7 games, which Adam won.
you react like on a sporting event? You say, oh, wow.
Unfortunately, we were a little bit close to where they were playing, and so when the crowd erupted in the viewing room, they rushed in to tell us to quiet down so that we weren't giving clues to the players of what was what was happening. But yes.
These are growing pains. When you have it at the, you know, the Scrabble Super Bowl, they'd have to have special headsets and whatnot. I wonder if the gamblers I hope the gamblers haven't found Scrabble.
I don't think so. Let's hope they don't for a while.
It's a scary moment going on in sports. Well, congratulations. And it's a great story. And people should know that dominant teams, that players of Ghana and Nigeria, and I think you mentioned some others.
Kenya was third, yeah.
Quickly, I got to ask you, I remember now that you were with UNIFOR and have written books about the labor movement. It's a book. And the OFL did have a convention, and they did pass some significant resolutions, which I don't see being reported in the media. But talk about it.
There were, as I understand it, three important resolutions that dealt with the situation in Gaza and Palestine. Probably the most striking is that there was a resolution on hot cargo, and that passed overwhelmingly.
Hot cargo, that is a big step.
Let me quote from the resolution. Mm-hmm. It called on the OFL to declare and call on the Canadian Labor Congress to declare trade services and relationships with Israel to be hot cargo and cut ties with the Histadrut, and that the OFL endorse the Arms Embargo Now campaign with relevant unions to declare arms shipments to Israel hot cargo not to be touched by workers of conscience.
That is a heavy resolution.
Yes.
And I understand it went through easily.
Yes, overwhelmingly it was passed. It was
overwhelming.
Yes. And there were a couple of other resolutions on, that rounded out the discussion on the responsibility of workers in other countries to show international solidarity, including by getting pension funds to divest from anything linked to Israel, and also affirming that they would oppose harassment and discrimination against Palestinians or anti-Palestinian racism. And I think, importantly, that they would oppose the targeting of anti-war activists from different unions, workplaces, or communities. And I think that's a really important subject to take up these days, where more and more we know that the public is opposed to the genocide that Israel has been carrying out. But people who demonstrate against what Israel is doing are still being targeted and arrested and fired from jobs.
Yes, we have
so
that.
It's important to defend them.
Yes, we have that matter of the QP worker, and that, to my knowledge, has not yet been resolved. I guess it's in some stage of negotiations or arbitration. I don't know what.
Yes, I believe it's in arbitration. The grievance of her firing the paramedic.
But those resolutions. A milestone. It's kind of like hearing that the ice cap is melting, and it could be done with such numbers. That's really the most striking thing. 3 years ago, as you remember, you couldn't even discuss the subject, right? Mm-hmm. You couldn't get it on the floor. Because, you know, when a cause is just, once it does get to the floor, it's open and shut. That's why they repress it.
Yes.
Well, Tony Leo, we're very grateful. congratulations on that tournament. We're going to have to talk much more about this, and we'll start to, you know, a Team Canada or something here for Scrabble. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.
We do appreciate it.
Bye.
Tony Leo, Unifor, and does labor commentary, and solonet.ca. This is the Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM.